We will make a start and we'll start with a word of prayer. Great Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity that has given unto us, whereby we can come away from the world and we can open your pages of scripture and we can learn about you. And we pray that you will help us, you will open our minds and our hearts so that we may be able to understand and then apply to our life the things that we learn. For this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This afternoon we're going to have a look at the book of Zephaniah. And two things before we start. I dare say each one of you have a favourite verse in the Bible. Well, Zephaniah has got my favourite verse. I want to read it to you. It's taken from Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17.
Nathan, can you just help Michael get that?
Yeah. And it says...
Chapter 3.
This is my favorite, my whole time, all-time favorite verse in the Bible. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. If you can imagine, that is telling us that when we come to the kingdom, God himself is going to sing for us, for you and me. He's going to sing. Just imagine that. Now, before we start, there's a question I've already asked it of a couple. In what way do you think the book of Zephaniah is ahead of any other prophecy book that we've already seen or will see? This is the top in the pages of scripture in one aspect. Do you know what it is? And we'll hold that thought and we'll just start and we'll come to it. I'll give you time to think about it and we will stop and have a look at it just a wee bit further on. Okay. Zephaniah. Now, who is he? We'll have a look at the setting, where he belongs and what in what aspect. Remember, we did quite a few of them already and a lot of them that we've come across, different writers, different books in the Bible, we don't know where they belong because it doesn't tell us. Remember the last time when he had a look at Habakkuk, it was only a very, very big, broad hypothesis as where he belonged. Zephaniah, on the other hand, is not. He is he belongs there. And it says in chapter 1, Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. You couldn't have a better, you know, guidepost as to where this book belongs. He goes to a great deal of trouble to explain it to you. You know, he's Zephaniah, he's the son of Cushai, he's the son of Gedaliah, so on, and he's the son of Hezekiah, which is, he's of the royal household. So he is a man that you cannot but help to know where he belongs. So if you... The setting of Zephaniah may be best explained if we look back on the day of Josiah. So you've got Ammon here. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. You had Josiah. He did what was right. You had Jehoahaz. He did evil. Then you got Jehoiakim. He did evil. And this is the kings of Judah, which were actually classed as the better of the king. The kings of Israel, which will go up here in a minute, you will find that each and every one, from the time they started to the time they went into captivity for a final time, each and every one of them did evil in the sight of the Lord. Whereas these ones here of Judah, you had a few, not many, you had a few that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. You see, and it goes on, you had Jotham, he did what was right. Ahaz, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, so therefore he did what these fellows did. That's the kings of Israel up there. And then you've got Hezekiah, he did what was right. And Manasseh, he did evil. And the interesting thing that you look at is that from one, you know, you got father, son, and all so on. You got good, you got bad, you got good, you got bad. And you'd think that dad would bring up the kids, if dad was already fearing God and he was following God's laws, that he would bring the kids up right and do what was right. But the kids, nah. You know, he did what was right, he did what was wrong. Ahaz did what was wrong, Hezekiah did what was right, and so on. And it went all the way down the line. Mm. And actually, Hezekiah here, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's the last one that was right, and then from then on, it just downhill from there on. Okay?
It actually goes to show, Leo, that spirituality doesn't run in your blood.
No.
And it certainly doesn't get passed on in your genetic either.
Yeah.
It's a choice thing.
You can teach your kids to a certain point. You can bring your kids to a certain point. You know the old saying that we have, you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make it drink. You know, and it's the same with kids. You can bring them to the waters of baptism and teach them all the way to the waters of baptism. But then you've got to stand back and let the kids walk in them by themselves. You cannot force them to go in. And that is it. So that was, and through the sins of Manasseh, you will find that if we look back, these other kings here that did evil in the sight of God, God made, and we'll have a look at that in a minute, God made a prediction and he says, I'm going to bring punishment on these people. But then he says, I'm not going to do it in Jotham's, Josiah's day. Josiah was good. He did everything that God wanted. And he tried to do God's will. And God says, okay, I'm going to bring punishment, but not in his day. You won't see it. When you die, then I'll bring the punishment. Okay. So even though you had people that did what was right, they are after the time of Josiah, and they got lumbered with it later on. Okay, so here we have, we go now in the time of Zephaniah. This is what he had to deal with. Right, Jan, let's have two verses.
Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel.
Well, he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served him. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name.
And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them.
But they pay no attention, and Masha seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants the prophets, saying,
because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle.
And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the part of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies.
Because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, for he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord.
So, it primarily to start with, it was because of what Manasseh did. But as we saw at the beginning of this, that although his father had done right and his grandfather had done wrong, his father changed everything and went back to God. Manasseh again changed what his father had done and went back to what his grandfather had done. Okay, and he's now worshipping false idols. He's doing everything wrong, as much wrong as he can get, you know, and he couldn't get any worse than Manasseh. So, but it says also that judgment would not happen in the time of Josiah. Okay, we looked here, you've got Ammon, you've got Josiah, he did what was right, and he was so good. And to show how bad things had got, when he finally came to power, Josiah, he decided to clean out the temple. It was a mess. It was, you know, it had been used for everything but the worship of God. And they were cleaning it out. And lo and behold, in amongst all the rubbish, what did they find? They found the book of the law. And the thing was that nobody had even seen the book of the law for a long, long time. And they brought it to Josiah, and he read what it said in the book of the law, and he just wept, because this is what's going to happen to us because of the sin of my father and forefathers. And he wept. And then God said, you know, I see your tears, I heard your cry, and because of what you've done, I won't bring this punishment on you. But the punishment is coming, but not in your day. So therefore the punishment was going to come to the next generation and the generations after. And you will see that here. Who was next in line?
Joshua was 8 years old when he became king and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adiah of Oshikath. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, or the son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the scribe, and
Esariah,
servant of the king, say, go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book, that he has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, and to do according to all that is written concerning us.
John.
Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place, and shall not be quenched.
But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I had spoken against this place and against the inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king.
Okay, so he was, let's back up here. The interesting, out of all what we've just read, that is the most interesting word. Because, and that is, because you've done this. You know, they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods. That is why all this was coming. It was not because, you know, God felt like destroying them or anything like that. He gives a reason, and he tells them, this is why this is happening to you. All right. So, again, now is going to come up that question I asked you before. We're going to have a look at the survey of Zephaniah. Can anybody think of why the book of Zephaniah is ahead of any other book? Something that I had not even seen when I started this. Yeah.
What do you mean, Leo, ahead of any other book?
Well, this is something that, how to put it. Let's have a look, I'll show you. Yeah. Out of the 53 verses in the book of Zephaniah, 43 of them are predictive. Okay, this makes the book 89% predictive, which in turn makes the book of the most predictive book in the whole Bible. There is no book in the Bible that is more predictive than the book of Zephaniah. Okay, 89% of the book is, and there's only 53 verses. You know.
79%. 79%.
Okay.
79.
Are you saying
79?
Yeah.
79? Yes. 43 out of
53. Okay. Yeah. Well, all these mathematicians amongst us.
You pick that up. Was just a test, John. I just wanted to see if anybody. Okay, thanks, John.
So when you say predictive, Leo, you mean talking about what's going to happen in the future?
What is going to happen? What God has prepared, either for those that love Him or for those that hate Him.
Okay,
And there's no middle ground. You know, we cannot say we love God or we love God and then go and burn incense to other gods or, as we do, worship other gods. There's either you either love God or you don't. You know, there is no middle ground. The book of Zephaniah is a very fascinating book. The three chapters can be broken into three interesting categories. And that's what we're going to have a look at now. We're going to split up Zephaniah into three chapters and see what they're all about. Now, for those that weren't here last week, what we did, as I've been going through this, one thing that has stood out for me is that as we look at all the books of the Bible, they all have the same theme. Although they come at it from a different angle, they all have the same theme. And where you go, say for instance, to the book of Judges, is the most clearest one of the lot to see what it's talking about. It talks about Israel sinned. God sends an oppressor to Israel. They cry out to God. He sends a Savior. They are redeemed. They live in peace. Then they sin, and on and on, and it goes round and round in circles. Every book of the Bible is the same, although slightly different in the way it goes about, but the overall theme is the same, and Zephaniah is no different. So chapter 1, he's looking within, then in chapter 2 he's looking around, and then finally in chapter 3 he is looking ahead, which is very interesting to us. And that's that, remember that chapter, that verse that I brought up about where God said he's going to sing over us in the kingdom. And I cannot for myself, for the life of me, find a verse that gives me greater joy than to think about that, where God is going to come in and actually sing for us in the kingdom. Okay, let's have a look what he says. First of all, he says that judgment has come in chapters 1, verses 2 to 6. And we will... Who was next in line? Eden.
I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I'll consume man and beast. I'll consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord.
I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from his place, the names of the idolatrous priests, of the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Molcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him.
Okay. Then he predicts judgment will be complete. Yeah. Jen.
Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel.
In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter.
Yeah.
Loud crashing from
And
a loud crashing from the hills.
Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil.
Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation, and shall build houses but not inhabit them. And shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine.
So that was going to be a destruction on Jerusalem. This was going to come to pass. And it says here that God is, it's going to be total, because he says he's going to send a man with a lamp throughout the land and make sure that none of them are missed. Everybody is going to be punished who's wearing foreign clothes or is not worshipping the Lord God Almighty.
It's that verse 12, Leo, you know, the people were saying in their heart, they weren't saying it outright, but they were thinking it to themselves, God's not going to do this, or he's not going to do that. Nah, that's not true.
But today, what do we get from people saying, everything has been like that for years. It's just a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, it's not coming true. And they're saying exactly the same as what, and then when God's time is up, he says, that's it. He set a time. For the sake of argument, he says the 1st of August 2017 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's it. Okay? And there is no changing that. We don't know the date of time. But when he is ready, that's it. And then we're sitting there contemplating and saying, well, shall I or shan't I? You come to the 1st of August and you're still sitting there contemplating. God makes a decision. Okay. He talks of the fierceness of judgment. James. Oh, sorry. I better give you something to read. Yeah.
Okay. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness.
John? He did it out of turn before. I didn't see you. Yeah, Nathan. Yeah.
A day of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon them, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse.
Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fowl of his jealousy. For he will make speedy ridicule of all those who dwell in the land.
Okay. You know, so he brings distress on all the nations, and you know, it is, why does he do it? Again, because they have sinned against the Lord. That is it. They have sinned against the Lord, and they have not changed their way of life. And that is exactly what is happening in the world today. If you compare what they did in those days compared to what is happening today, exactly the same thing. Yeah. And that's so sad. You see some people, you know, that are good people and should know better, but they don't. And the fierceness of judgment that is to come on the Lord. Okay.
Gather yourselves together, ye scatter together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you.
I'll do one more.
Go busy.
Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger.
Well, so he's given you a chance. God is actually pleading with you. Before the decree, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger, do it. Do something about it. Seek the Lord, it says, all you meek of the earth. Please, he's begging you, please do something. Do it now, before the day comes, before the 1st of August 2017. Because when that day comes, I'm just using that as a...
It's on, when it's on that the recording. Day comes, yeah.
It's not a date. But when that day, when the day of God comes, that's it. There is no more turning back after that.
The interesting thing about that, Leo, is that God is more or less saying, Israel, your days are numbered, but to those individuals, verse 3, that want to do my way, you'll be hidden from them.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to save the whole of Jerusalem, but you can be hidden from that destruction. Yeah.
But another one, I think that is also, he says here, gather yourself together. Yes, gather yourself, O undesirable nation. He's pleading with this undesirable nation, a nation that should not, have a chance in the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And a lot of people today, and I've heard this so often, they say, I cannot get in the kingdom, my sins are too great, I've been too wicked. In the eyes of God, no, that's not true. In the eyes of God, all you've got to do is do something about it. Turn your life around, change your life. But if you just carry on doing it and sitting there and saying, woe is me, I have no chance, then God says, well, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. But if you do something about it, then God will go out of his way to help you to change your life around. Okay, now we come to the call of repentance. That was the call of repentance that we just saw. And then judgment, now he brings judgment against the nations. And it's not just of Jerusalem. He brings judgment against all the nations. He starts in the west with Philistia. Where did we get to?
Which is Gaza.
Gaza. Yeah. John, if you can...
I'm sorry. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitant.
The sea coast shall be pastures, with shelters for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there, in the house of Ashkelon. They shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives.
Okay, just as a clarification here, we've got some terrible judgments against Gaza, against Ashkelon, against Ashdod and Ekron. Those nations are actually in the Old Testament, is where the Philistines lived. Remember the Philistine, the giant that David slew. But can anybody tell me what the modern day name for those nations are? The name that we might understand, that we can put on a map and point a finger at. Who are those people? Who is Ashkelon? Who is Ashdod?
And the Palestinians, Ekron? Isn't it?
It's the Palestinians.
The Gaza Strip.
The Palestinians.
Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can see the nation there today. If you were given a map and say, where are the Palestinians, you could say, there. And that's them. And now look at what God said he's going to do to them. What they're doing to the because what they do into Israel. Okay, what has happened? What has happened? Hang on. I have lost it somehow.
The apple has bloomed.
I don't know what happened there. Somehow I went right out of it. About there, I think. No, a bit further. That'll do for now, and then we'll just go a bit further. So now we get to west against the nations. You had the judgment against the nation. We get the west. Philistia. That's the one that we just did.
Yeah.
Okay. This now we get the east. This is Moab and Ammon. Okay. Who was next? Eden.
I have heard the reproach of Moab and the insults of the people of Ammon with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them.
This they shall have for their pride, because they have reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them, for he will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth. People shall worship him, each one from his place, and in all the shores of the nations.
Mm. Okay, so who is Ammon, and who is the other? Mark. In today's language?
Jordan.
Okay, so if you look at the map of Israel, picture a map of Israel in your mind, you know, and you will find that all these predictions are all about the people that are all around Israel today. Now we get to the south, and we get Ethiopia. We know Ethiopia today. Jen?
You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword.
Okay, so you cannot get it plainer than that. And then you get, finally, you get the north, and that's Assyria. Helen.
And he will stretch out his hand against the north, destroy Assyria, and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as the wilderness. The herd shall lie down in her midst, every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bison, shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be at the threshold, for he will lay bare the cedar work. This is a rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there is none besides me. How has she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down? Everyone who passes by here shall hiss and shake his fist.
So you had the north, south, east and west, all around Israel. They were going to be destroyed and punished for what they did. But just because all around were punished, that doesn't mean to say that Judah is going to escape unpunished. You know, they are going to cop it as well.
Chapter 3. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God.
Her princes in their midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
The Lord is righteous in our midst, and he will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to the light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations, their fortresses are devastated, I have made their streets desolate. With none passing by, their cities are destroyed, there's no one, no inhabitant.
I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction, so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her, that they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know, you'd think that when they see that, that they would do something about it, you know. And then finally, we talk about after this indignation, after these judgments, after all this has happened, now he's looking ahead. And he's looking to a time down the lane of time. And he's actually looking past us, like we said last week with Habakkuk. He stands on the wall and he looks down through the ages. He looks past us, down the ages, and maybe just a little wee bit down past us. That's where his eye is now focused, and the salvation of the remnant. This is what is going to happen to this, to the remnant of the people. John?
Well, then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering.
In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord.
The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall be fed, their flocks, and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid.
That is what the kingdom is about. Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about, the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so we carry on. John?
Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more.
In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hand be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, a mighty one, will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom this reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the land and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord.
And I think it'd be a good thing if you, going back here, in that day, and that those three words is mentioned quite often in scripture, in that day, what we will look at it also, Zechariah, down the track of it, they are the same. He said it so often, and it's always talking about the time that Christ comes back, when he sets up the kingdom, when in that day, and this is what is going to happen. And he says to the people, do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. And then he goes to into my favorite verse. You know, the Lord your God is in your midst. He, God is here. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Just imagine that. If you, in your wildest dreams, can you imagine that happening? That the God of all the universe is going to pick you out and going to sing over you with gladness. You know, that is, you know, it's beyond comprehension.
Don't you think he does that when you're baptized?
Yes, but it actually, yes, but there we have to sort of imagine it. Whereas here, it is going to happen. Yeah. We can hear it. We will be, you know.
It'll be literal.
It's the same as, it'll be exactly the same as in a day, say for instance, do you remember when the angel came to the shepherds to tell them about the birth of Jesus? Now, if you read the account carefully, you will see what happened was that you had a group of shepherds on the hillside looking after their sheep. And one angel, came and gave them a message. Today is born to you in the city of David, the Lord, the Saviour, the King. And then, as soon as the message was delivered, then the whole host of heaven, every angel could no longer contain themselves, and they all sang for joy of what had just happened. But first of all, one angel came and he gave the message, and then the whole host of heaven just couldn't contain themselves any longer for joy, and they all sang, burst into song. I think that's what it is with God. You have struggled, you have overcome, welcome into my kingdom. That's what he's saying. Okay. So what lesson do we learn from Zephaniah in altogether now? What?
I don't know.
What?
Well, if you don't know after all that.
Okay, let's have a look.
Life is the time to serve the Lord.
One thing is, money is not the answer.
Silver and gold.
You know, it doesn't matter. It does not matter if you are Donald Trump and you own, doesn't matter how much money you've got or how little you've got. Money is not the answer. Okay, that is the first thing. The second thing is, God's care is for the faithful. What that means, and what you've got to take into account, is the fact that it does not matter what you've done before, as long as you change your life, turn your life around. You make an honest, genuine effort to turn your life around and say, I want to learn of God, I want to do His will. You know, but if you just ride along like a piece of driftwood on the sea, you know, that is not going to do you any good.
Because, Leo, it's not just one decision. You make that decision every day you wake up.
Yes, but you've got to start with, you've got to decide in your life, this is what I want to do. You know, and then from there on, you've got to carry on doing it.
You've got to decide every day.
Yeah, yeah. But the first one is, I want to do it. It says, what are the things required? You require to learn, you require to be baptized, required to learn, required to repent, and repent means not saying I'm sorry for my sin, it means you change your life around, you do a total turnaround and go the opposite way, then be baptized, and then walk in that way from then on in. Okay, you cannot say, I'll be baptized, and then, okay, ho hum, I'm baptized, I'm now saved. It doesn't work that way. You know, you've got to carry on. Okay, and then the final one is, surely we would learn the lesson. You know, if you look at Zephaniah, I think it is a tremendous lesson to learn. He the things that he teaches you are great. All we've got to do is say, I want to do this. And nobody can force you, and that's something that you must do yourself.
So verse 7 says, you will receive instruction. That's what verse 7 says.
Verse 7 of
chapter 3.
Of Zephaniah 3?
Yeah, receive instruction. In other words, you're open to receiving God's message.
Yeah. You've got to open your mind up. You know, I want to learn. You know, and the thing is, the trouble is that quite often when people say, I want to learn, what they're really saying is, I'm going to teach you. You know, you've got to be prepared to learn and to suddenly hear things that you may not have heard before, you know, and say, oh, I didn't see that before, you know. But you must always say, is it according to this? That's the most important thing. Is it according to Scripture? You know, does the Bible tell you that? Or is it, say, you know, somebody's fertile imagination? So, the book of Zephaniah gives us a glimpse into the great and wonderful plan of God to save man from sin. It does. It really shows you what God wants, you know. And you could do a lot worse than sit down with the book of Zephaniah and read it and read it and read it slowly and see what he says and listen to what he says. So, are you a part of the kingdom spoken of by the prophet, of all that was established by the blood of Jesus? Do we want to be part of it? Do we want to be there where Zephaniah went? Do we want to be there and hear our God sing for us? And as the book of Hebrews also tells us, Jesus will sing for us. So therefore, it's a duet between God and Jesus, and they're going to sing for us. Mm-hmm. So the question you've got to ask is, do I want to be there and hear that? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to be cast out and be on the outer? My answer is, I want to hear that. I want to hear that more than anything else in the world. Mm-hmm. So that is what is required. We've got to believe, we've got to repent, we've got to confess, we've got to be baptized, and we've got to carry on our life that way afterwards. Okay, it is no good being doing all those things, being baptized, and then stop. You know, that is a way of life. Well, that from that point on, that carries on and on and on and on and on until the day you die. And if it doesn't, you might as well not start. All right, that's it.
Yes. Awesome, man.
What's the word? What's the word for it?
The one word summary.
No, I.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Leo. Oh.
Did you forget?
Make one up.
Singing. How's that sound?
Singing, yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that one. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Nice one.
Okay. Any questions? And then.